Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Today's episode is sponsored by the Feminist Book Club Holiday Gift Guide. We are making it easy to shop your values this holiday season with our beautifully designed, clickable PDF featuring over 50 feminist businesses. Knock out your holiday shipping in one fell swoop because this guide has something for everyone on your list, from the youngest budding feminist to your favorite elders. Shop small and, more important, shop your values this holiday season. Go to feministbookclub.com/holiday to download the guide and make the season bright.
Hey, 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 and welcome to the Feminist Book Club podcast, the show that brings you the best of the best feminist content. I'm your host, Neba from Notes by Neba, and today I'm joined by Sarah Wendell. Anyway, Sarah's my dear, dear friend from long ago, back in another era when I was in college. But anyway, Sarah, welcome to the pod. We're so excited to have you on here today.
Hi there, Neba. I'm so excited to be here and that you thought of me for this. Feminism and books, two of my favorite things. I'm a longtime writer of fantasy with two novels under my belt so far. I write books I like to read, so a lot of kick-ass women getting things done. I'm a big fan of the fantasy genre, always have been, and I love playing with the traditional tropes and seeing what can be done with the genre.
Awesome. That is absolutely perfect, because today I wanted to kind of dive into what you've been up to since college, see what you've been up to as an author, and talk a little bit about your book, Aerie. Before we get into all of this, do you mind just giving us a really quick overview before we dive in?
I'm never great at being quick, but I will do my best. So Aerie is the story of Lena, a lady knight sent to a mountain castle turned prison to serve as warden, and Belle, a long lost prince and the only prisoner within that mountain fortress. It's a story about redemption, tolerance, and two very different souls who were never supposed to meet, but might just be what the other needs.
Also, awesome. That sounds super duper cool. I'm really excited to get into this more deeper. You know, actually, Sarah and I actually met in college working at the library forever ago. I remember I'd gotten this job stacking books and stuff and doing something with like old archival footage. And Sarah was the one to show me around when I was a wee little 17-year-old, huh?
Yes, we were cute little library elves just doing the scenes behind. Yep. I still, to this day, can direct people to the bathrooms at Shields Library in my sleep, because that is half of what we did at the information desk, is send people to the bathroom.
Hey man, when you gotta go, you gotta know where to go.
It's better than doing it in the stacks.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. And you know, from being little library elves, I feel like now we've come full circle, because now you're an author. But I kind of want to start before that with your origin story. Literally, what were the first books that you were into?
Well, I was a big reader as a kid. My parents and grandmothers really got me into reading, and I still am today. Fantasy continues to be one of my favorite genres. I remember reading Tamora Pierce books and other stories of girls taking charge of their own destinies. Love that. I'm a big fan of history and the historical field of the fantasy genre. I think it was just such a neat thing to think about, girls in this imagined past checking the rules and insisting on space for themselves. It was so neat for me to think about that as like a little girl, especially as like an only child little girl, and just like having these adventures in my head. It was a break from the typical hero's journey that we see in things like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, or Harry Potter. Granted, I think the genre owes a huge amount to Tolkien and Lord of the Rings. Later in life, I really appreciated what Tolkien did and why people love it so much. His world is so immersive, so well thought out, and you can see his imagination in the vast notes and secondary writings, not just the main books. I love that. I love those immersive worlds, and I especially love a world where women have just as much space for their stories to be told, because again, you don't get a lot of women's stories in Lord of the Rings. What? Women in fantasy isn't new, though. I'd say if Tolkien is the father of the genre, fantasy genre, Ursula K. Le Guin is, of course, the mother. And what I love about Le Guin is how good of a writer she is. She was also a great essay writer. She and Octavia Butler were the OG queens of fantasy, and defy the criticism that fantasy is, quote, 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 just genre fiction, just entertaining writing that isn't good.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like people definitely think of Ursula Le Guin, but with people like younger, a lot of people think of J.K. Rowling with fantasy. And absolutely. Now with all of her like turfness and nonsense, it just makes me so sad because she just like, she shaped like a whole generation. She shaped so many people's lives. Everyone would like dress up for those movies. Even for like the book releases, I remember dressing up and watching people like dress up as Hogwarts, like witches and wizards. It was such a like mainstream type of fantasy. So anyways, now that we kind of know she's not very pro all women, actually, really though, what sort of like fantasy authors and books that are current would you suggest instead?
Sure. Well, I think you can love what you love, but there are more things out there than just J.K. Rowling. I absolutely love and adore N.K. Jemisin, who burst on the scene a few years ago and won at least one Hugo Award. She might have won more at this point, and she deserves all of them. I've always been a huge fan of Diane Wynne Jones. Yes, Howl's Moving Castle, but also the sequels. The sequels are amazing. I highly recommend them. And nowadays, I honestly read a lot of romance novels. After grad school, I needed some nice fluff. But within the romance fantasy genre, there are also great writers out there self-publishing and killing it. Grace Draven is one big name that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually admittedly read a lot of like YA novels, but you'd be surprised, you know, sometimes there's a lot of like really good characters or really well-developed worlds and stuff like that, just because a genre may not have all the quality stuff that some like genres really should have. There are always like little gems into each of those sections. You obviously were like a very big reader when you were younger. How did you transition from that and getting more into writing?
Well, I've actually been writing since I was pretty young. One of my first stories was about a bunch of anthropomorphized animals running around trying to find buried treasure. And I made my mom write my dictations because I didn't know how to type at the time. My poor mother. But I got a bit more organized around sixth grade when I had a teacher who actually had us writing stories every few weeks, and things just clicked for me and took off. I wrote throughout high school and learned from my honors English class that you could actually write and read as a major in college. Fabulous. I pursued writing into undergrad and grad school at the University of California at Davis, which were both great opportunities that gave me a space to explore my writing.
Yeah, I think having like kind of different ways to explore writing is really one of the nice keys, going from like class to like figuring out your own style, things like that. Definitely just kind of exploring it the way you want to. So when you, I have to ask, you know, when you got into creative writing, did you ever make fan fiction?
No. Actually, not someone who's read or written much to any fan fiction. I actually have a lot of feelings about fan. I get why it's popular, and I think there's a time and a place for it. However, while I was teaching my creative writing course in grad school, I always told my students if they turned in fan fiction, I'd be sending them to judicial affairs. Fan fiction is fine on the internet, and I think it can be a useful tool. You have all the parts of a story, scene, characters, world building. If you're just getting into writing, that can honestly be really helpful. You can practice dialogue and plot and just play around. However, it's not your original work. To grow as a writer, you need to create all of that yourself and your own story. I think the danger of fan fiction is falling into the rut of not taking the leap and doing it on your own and growing. It's just kind of a comfort zone people fall into.
Yeah, I can see how it would be really useful, especially for starting writers, because you kind of get handed, you know, this is the world, these are the characters, and
absolutely,
you can, like you said, play around with situations and dialogue and all of that. So when you did start writing and developing your style and all of that, how has your style evolved? Have you ever looked back on some of your older stories? What kind of stories did you used to write about when you were younger?
They were definitely still fantasy, and they were very angsty, like all the teenage drama. I would just come home and I would write, and some girls write in journals. I wrote an angsty fantasy novel full of angst, well, people angsting. I've written quite a few books actually, but not ones that I really wanted to publish on Amazon. I loved adventures and strong women and other worlds, and that's true still to this day. I definitely still have a lot of my early works on file. I honestly, though, can't look too far back into them without cringing. I thought it was awesome at the time, but writing is about growth. You've never learned everything, and there's always a way to grow and become better. I definitely enjoyed landscape and world descriptions as well as summary. In other words, the info dump. I'm still a fan of it now, but time and place is everything.
Yeah, for sure. I think one way I always look at cringe is kind of like, if you look back on your past self or your past writing and you cringe, it's a good thing because that means that you have grown since then. Because if you looked back on that and you didn't cringe, there's no way you were like this perfect creature when you were younger. And if you don't cringe, does it mean that you just don't see how not ideal that may have been? Did you just have no growth from then to now?
Yeah, you should cringe. If you're not cringing, something's wrong.
Yeah, I feel like no one, you know, pops out of the womb being a perfect writer. So, you know, what does make creative writing and literary fiction good?
Honestly, that's very subjective. Literary fiction is good because the people who control good taste say it's good. And that's a bit mean, but it's also kind of true. I don't believe good writing should be bounded by genre or type. However, I do think there's something to be said for literary fiction's unflinching dedication to words and the art of writing. There isn't much magic or cruel science or ghosts to lean back on. Literary fiction celebrates the written word and characters and how to put the human experience to words. That's powerful and why we teach it in classes. It's why I chose to go to a literary fiction program for grad school. But I think it's wrong to say that the aim is the same. You have different rules and limitations in genre fiction, but that doesn't make it less or worse, you know? I think the two have a lot to take and give to each other. Some of the best fantasy and science fiction from Butler, Le Guin, Tolkien, Asimov, Herbert reads like literary fiction in many ways. And I think literary fiction could stand to be a bit more fun and less stuffy and depressing. Genre fiction outsells literary fiction for a lot of reasons, not least of which I think is because it's engaging and entertaining. It's escapism in many ways. Literary fiction isn't escapism, quite the opposite. It's looking directly at the thing, even if we don't want to look. I think there's a time and a place for both. And I'm glad we can start talking about genre fiction as an art form in the same way that we do literary fiction, because so much goes into it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we think about who decides, you know, what books get awards, what books get Hugo Awards placed on like best-selling lists and things like that, a lot of these people are people with who may have been in power for a long time, who may have certain ideologies and things like that. So thinking about some of our listeners, primarily our listeners who are interested in writing themselves, do you have any tips for them, whether they are just starting out or specifically maybe when they're in a writer's slump?
When I know how to get out of a writer's slump, I will let you know. I definitely get slumps myself, so don't let it, you know, get you down too much. If you are in one yourself, I'm definitely a spurt writer, lots of productivity or nothing at all. But I always try and remember what my grad school thesis chair, Jacinda Townsend, told me, which is that writing isn't waiting around for a divine muse to strike. It's like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the easier it is. So just keep at it.
It's a really good way of putting it. It's like a muscle. Speaking of your thesis chair, you mentioned you had gone to grad school.
Yes.
I myself am a person who kind of started grad school and then just decided to leave with my master's. So I'm curious, in the world of English, which is probably quite different from the world of science grad school where I was from, why is it that people choose to pursue grad school?
So many reasons. The main reason to pursue an MA or MFA program, and again, for creative writing, you're going to pursue a master's degree. There aren't a lot of creative writing PhDs, but there are for creative writing, but there are plenty for like literature and English. But the main reason to pursue such a program is to give yourself the time and space to pursue writing. Most programs will offer the space and maybe even the funds to allow you time to focus on just your writing rather than maybe a bunch of other life. That includes reading good books, meeting other writers, conducting workshops, and of course, writing. I think it opens you up to new experiences, people, and types of writing, and expands you as a person and a writer. But don't pay for it. God, don't add on to your debt. Look for funded programs. Don't pay for it, please.
Yeah, the ignoring the money part of grad school is ignoring a large part of grad school, for sure. Yeah.
Don't be the ostrich with your head in the sand. It's going to cost money.
What was it like? I know there's probably a lot. So let's maybe just start with like the pros of writing grad school.
Oh, it was an experience. It's a big commitment. So definitely ask yourself why you want to do this and what you want out of it. I can only speak from my particular experience. UC Davis at the time was an MA program, but they've now transitioned to MFA, which for those who don't know, MA is just Masters of Arts, MFA, Masters of Fine Arts, and they're slightly different. Not entirely sure what that entails now in the program, but for me, the bulk of my classes were workshops with fellow writers. We'd read a few peers' stories a week, get together and discuss. You'd have to have thick skin in a workshop, but it's all meant to help. I always enjoyed it. It helps you move forward. I also really liked all the different types of writing we did. We'd do writing prompts and get pushed out of our comfort zone, which I think is extremely valuable. You're not going to grow if you keep doing the same old, same old. Another aspect of UC Davis's program is that your second year, you get to teach an under-division writing class. So kind of a lot of freshmen and sophomores, introducing them to creative writing. We took a quarter-long pedagogy course though, so don't worry, we weren't set loose on unsuspecting freshmen. It was a great experience. I got to see what it was like to teach. I got to impart what I thought was important in writing, and I got to give back to all that had been given to me in my collegiate writing experience. It was a really, really neat thing to do.
Gosh, that sounds incredible, especially for like trying to exercise your writing muscle in all the different ways possible. Certainly extremely different from a lot of the college English classes or writing classes that I'd taken. But I don't know, it's also grad school. So I know there's like some downsides to them. We got to be real with our listeners here. What were some of the cons of grad school?
There were definitely downsides. It's a big time and effort commitment. Grad school is all caps, much harder than undergrad. Doesn't matter the major or the program, it's harder. My first quarter, I had a total mental breakdown while writing my first 15-page research paper for a lit class. It's a lot of work. Do not underestimate that. Make sure you have the capacity for it. But I came out on the other side more confident in my writing and in public speaking. And I got my most recent book, Airy, out of it. Our graduate thesis was a body of work, not a research project. I set myself the task of writing a literary fantasy novel, taking what I liked from both. Don't get me wrong, Airy is still full of awesome fantasy stuff. There's a guy with hot wings, but I also wanted to focus on character development and beautiful prose. At the end of the program, I defended my thesis to my three chairs, who were all so helpful and lovely during the writing process. I wrote the first third of Airy, and I'm so thankful to have that book. I love it so much, but it was definitely a challenge. It's going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done.
Yeah, gosh. That's actually a perfect dovetail into what I want to ask you more about with Airy. I guess before we get into Airy, let's first kind of think about like your writing. You mentioned you really wanted it to have beautiful prose. How would you describe your writing style?
Long-winded, but you probably already guessed that. I'm a big fan of setting the scene, of having lots of wonderful sensory details and world building, and then putting my characters into that and just seeing what happens.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of authors kind of aspire to have this kind of thing. So how did you find your own style within this?
That's an interesting question. And I feel like it's hard to answer because style should always kind of be evolving. I think I've always had a way of how I like to write, but going to grad school pushed me to write in other ways, like short form and more comedic, which really helped me learn how to balance tone, pacing, and development. I still love description, and I love the challenge of making it beautiful and compelling. I think it's about finding your own rhythm, and I think mine is about building a world and plopping my characters into it, like I said, and seeing what they do. Sometimes the characters will surprise you in that world.
Gosh, I mean, it's kind of funny to think of it that way, because you're the one writing them, and you're the one writing the scenarios and what's happening. So now I'm curious, can you give us like maybe a little bit of a sneak peek, maybe a bit of a summary of your book? Actually, I also wanted to add for our listeners, all of the books and things that we mentioned in this episode, as always, will be in our description. So please feel free to go ahead there, browse around as you see fit as well. But Sarah, if you could give us like a little bit of a sneak peek or a summary into your book.
Yeah, of course. I'm pretty bad at these back of the book blurbs, so bear with me. But the story revolves mainly around Lena, a knight in disgrace who is being punished for doing the right thing, and Belle, the mysterious avian prisoner she's tasked with guarding. Lena is a do-good, by-the-books knight who believes in protecting the innocent, but doing that got her punished when she maimed her superior in self-defense. Belle is an avian, a species of winged humanoids that's been at war with humans for centuries. In another life, he was the prince of his people, but he was captured in battle as a teenager and has spent 10 years in captivity. They and a handful of other characters are stuck in a rundown castle over winter, leaving Lena and Belle to circle each other, figuring out the other. What they find is more in common than they could have ever expected. Dun, dun, dun. There's also some definite Jane Eyre and Beauty and the Beast vibes, lots of brooding, strong female warriors, wounded winged prince, and a sassy squire. can't forget the sassy squire.
This is giving me a little bit of Dark Academia vibes. Would you say that's true?
Oh, I think so. I think so. It's awesome. Definitely like a grown-up fairy tale in a lot of ways, that sort of vibe to it.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned having like a strong female warrior. I'm curious mm-hmm. about like gender in the book. It seems like you didn't really look at gender role too much, or did you look at gender? How did you kind of like play that into your story?
I wanted to play with genre and see what I could do in it, as well as gender. One thing I love about fantasy is that the rules of the real world, or even the real ancient world, don't necessarily exist. You can pick and choose. I wanted to write a world where gender didn't matter. In the world of Aerie, gender doesn't decide rules or jobs. It's not a problem or even novelty that Lena is a knight. Many authors have come before with great stories of girls breaking down barriers, such as Tamora Pierce, and becoming the first lady knights. I wanted to be in a world where that was almost post-gender in a way, or at least one where it was really a non-starter from the beginning. Doing that opened up some interesting avenues. So for example, this book kind of falls in the romance genre. Let's be real, the characters are trapped in a castle together and shenanigans ensue. And as such, in a lot of other books, the male would be the warden or person in control and the woman would be the prisoner. This situation is all over romance novels in various ways and dealt with in just as many. I was very conscious of these power dynamics throughout writing and wanted to do right by both characters. I didn't want anything to be coerced or for gender to set out how this relationship would go. I liked playing with the situation and how these two can negotiate and ask for what they need of each other.
That's a really great example of gender. You know, I think sometimes people lean into it a lot and make it kind of like the central plot of the entire book. And other times it's just kind of like part of the entire world building. And it's just how the world is. So if people wanted to find your book, say, where could they go to get it?
Right now, I'm just on Amazon. I self-published it through there, both as an ebook for Kindle and as a published version. I wish it was more places, but for right now, just Amazon. But at least on Amazon, you can read it for free on Kindle Unlimited if you subscribed.
Awesome. So after this, what's going to be next for you?
Book two that I don't know the name to. Aerie is going to be the first part of a duology. I always planned it this way, but please don't worry. It's not a cliffhanger ending, not really anyway. More of a steep berm, but I know people get really, really concerned about cliffhangers. I don't want to give anything away, but it's absolutely not a mid-scene, gut-wrenching cliffhanger. So their story will continue, and I've got another few fantasy novel ideas cooking. Honestly, right now, I'm in such a romance novel mood, so the next story, not Aerie 2, will probably lean more that way. But there's definitely more to come. I absolutely love writing. And even if I'm in a bit of my own writer slump right now, it's such a big part of me that I know there's so many more stories to share. And who knows, maybe by talking to you today, that'll still be just what I need to get over the hump and get the creative juices flowing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a muscle, right? Just got to exercise it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This has been super awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. If anyone wants to connect with you, where can people go?
Right now, I'm mostly on Instagram. They can find me at se.wendell.author. You can also follow me on Amazon for the very, you know, in a few decades when I eventually release the second book, it will notify you. But for now, just Amazon, Instagram, or my cat's Instagram. Plug.
Beautiful. Listeners, the links to all of these are going to be in our description as always. Thank you so much, Sarah. We really appreciate you coming here. And listeners, if you have a topic you'd like to discuss or a question you have for me, please feel free to reach out. My DMs are open. You can find me on pretty much any platform, YouTube, Insta, Twitter, TikTok at Notes by Neva. That's all for now. I will see you all on the next page.
Bye.
Today's episode is sponsored by EcoBags. EcoBags sells ethically made and sustainably sourced 100% cotton reusable bags that are as beautiful as they are useful. EcoBags is a woman-owned, certified B Corp and has been in the business of cleaning up the planet one bag at a time since 1989. Use code FEMINIST20 for 20% off your next purchase at store.ecobags.com. That's code FEMINIST20 for 20% off at store.ecobags.com. Check the show notes for more information. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
Well-read woman is a thing.